Praise God. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to be starting in verse 41 when we get there. But as I was preparing this week and seeking after what the Lord would have me to minister on, it's, you know, we spent about 3 months on the armor of God, and then Mother's Day came, and then we were on vacation for a couple weeks, and it's like, okay, what do I want to minister on today? And as I thought about it, you know, we've been praying for revival here for a long time, and we're just believing God to be a beacon to this community and to see more and more people added to the kingdom of God. And as I was thinking about all these things, you know, I thought that you go to school to get an education, hopefully, so you can make a living, hopefully. Amen? You go to work to make money so you can pay your bills. You go to the gym for exercise and to improve your health. You go to the mall to shop for clothes and the grocery store to buy food. You go to the lake to fish. You go to the ball game to cheer. You go to the golf course to have fun. Well, at least you hope some days you have fun. But church. Why do you go to church? Why should you be here? Why get up early on one of the few off days that you have? Why go through the hassle of getting cleaned up and getting the kids ready or getting the grandkids ready and going to church? If you've ever found yourself wondering about that little question, you're not alone. A survey conducted by the Pew Research Center of more than 35,000 Americans from all 50 states found that 70.6% of people identify themselves as Christians. It's pretty good, right? Yet fewer than 22% out of the 70.6 attend church weekly. The staggering thing is that out of the 70.6% who say they are Christians, who identify themselves as Christians, 29% of those people never attend church. Why is that? I mean, there could be some hurt, or people get offended, people have things happen in their life that cause them to separate. But when you look at those percentages, it's a huge deal. Amen? If only 22% of people who identify as Christians actually go to church on a regular basis, a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians, that talk about Christianity, have a distorted view of what God's really like. Amen? So, why go to church? I'm glad you asked. I want to give you some reasons this morning of why go to church. Have you ever had anybody, you've invited someone to come to church, and they look at you and say, why would I go to church? Why do I need to go to church? You know, have you ever noticed how easy it is to sleep in on Sunday morning? You can wake up the rest of the week, even on Saturday, you wake up at your normal time. Why? Because if you have a job, you have to get up at a certain time to make it to your job. Amen? But on Sunday morning, it's easy. You're tempted to sleep in. Amen? We had this discussion this morning in our house that my wife and my granddaughter were both very tired. Amen? It would have been nice just to sleep in. Right? That buzzer goes off. you may hit the snooze button. Are you one of them people that hit that snooze button 5 or 6 times? Don't raise your hand. Julianne is. You know, they set their alarm earlier because they have some, my son's one of these people. He has this reasoning that he feels like he gets to sleep longer when he hits the snooze button 3 or 4 times. And I'm like, you're not getting any more sleep. You're just being aggravated every time that alarm goes off. Amen? But on Sunday morning, you're tempted to hit the alarm and sleep in. But the good thing is, you didn't do that this morning. Amen? So you got up and you came. People make excuses out there, the people that don't go to church, people that don't identify as being a Christian, why they're not going to church. It doesn't make a difference in their life, they say. There's nothing there. It doesn't apply to my life. Well, I hope that as you come here and you make Wow Church a part of your regular weekly thing, that you know that we try to minister to you in a way that it does apply to your life, that it does affect your life, that it does help you to grow. Amen? Some people look at churches as a bother. It's an unnecessary burden to be avoided whenever possible. A perfectly good morning wasted in order to keep their wife or their husband or the preacher off of their back. Others see it sort of like punching the spiritual time clock and earning brownie points. The issue is they don't realize the importance of going to church regularly. And they never will unless we can share with them why it's beneficial. Amen? So this morning we're going to look at some things from the Word of God of why it's important to go to church. The book of Acts tells the story of how the church got started. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower his disciples. They went out and began preaching about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Multitudes of people listened. Thousands of people believed. And then at the end of Acts chapter 2, we find this short snapshot of what life in the early church was all about. Reading in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. The believers meet together. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. If we pause and look at this paragraph, we can really begin to realize the real purpose of the church and why it's important to meet together consistently, to meet together every week. Looking at this example of these very first Christians, the very first church, reveals reasons why the church exists and why you should be a part of it. The first thing that the church, as we see here, the church brings into our lives is community. Amen? The church gives us a place to belong. The passage we read here in Acts is flooded with fellowship. The Bible says all the believers devoted themselves to fellowship, to sharing meals. They met together. They shared everything they had. These new believers were given a sense of community by Jesus, belonging and togetherness at a level that you can't find anywhere else in the world. Amen? All of us need a place to belong. All of us need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. All of us need to experience family and fellowship. Vance Packard calls America a nation of strangers. Amen? Studies show that 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. Our American culture produces people who more closely identify with characters on their weekly TV shows that they follow and on social media than they do with their next door neighbors or their family. Everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungry for fellowship. They're hungry for community. They're hungry for a sense of family. I mean, just think about advertising. Beer commercials. Beer commercials don't sell beer. They sell community. You ever see a beer commercial where there's just one person? No. There's a bunch of people. Either there's a bunch of people out doing something, or they're in a place where they're having fellowship. They're selling community. Amen? They always portray it in the context of enjoying each other's fellowship. People belong or they long to be connected with one another. The enemy wants people from experiencing that community at all. He doesn't want people to do that. He also wants to drive people away from that community whenever he has a chance. Because when you are around people who have a heart and a passion for God, it's going to start rubbing off on you. Amen? If you're around people that don't care about God, if you're around a place that's just dry, stale, dead religion, guess what? It's going to be dry and dead in your life too. When you're around people that have a passion for God, that have a hunger for God, that have a thirst for God, when you hang around them enough, it's going to start rubbing off on you. There's something different about them people. Amen? Praise the Lord. When that runs off on you, your fire will stay lit. Amen? Think about it. It's kind of like when you're sitting around the campfire or your fire pit, and the fire is just crackling and burning, and all of a sudden that ember, its own fire comes, pops, and it comes shooting out. And it's laying out there. It doesn't take very long for it just to stop burning, and it goes out. Amen? But what happens if you walk over with a pair of tongs, hopefully, because it still might still be a little warm. It may not be red anymore. But you pick it up, and you take it over, and you put it back in the fire, immediately it starts glowing again. immediately to catch us back on fire. Amen? The warmth and the light of the other embers around it reignite it. Amen? The enemy doesn't want you to be around people like that. He doesn't want you to be around people that can speak into your life, people that can encourage you. Amen? That's exactly what happens when you no longer fellowship with other believers. As much as we try to keep that fire burning inside, we feel ourselves becoming cold and isolated. So people turn to other things. People turn to harmful habits. People turn to relationships they shouldn't be getting involved in. Amen? Unhealthy relationships. They're looking for that community. And if they can't find it in the right place, they're going to find it somewhere. Amen?
Yep. Amen?
This fall, when you see geese heading south for the winter, you know they always fly in that V formation. The way God created for them to fly. What science has discovered about that is that they've learned from studying that all those birds, the one in the front, he's doing all the work. All the rest of them behind there fly at a 71% greater flying range than if they were on their own. Amen. Christians who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier because they've got other people helping them along. Amen? You'll go much farther in your Christian walk, much farther in discovering the purpose and the plan of God in your life when you're around other believers. Amen? We need other people around us. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need that sense of community. Amen? Also, they found out when one of those goose gets sick or wounded and falls out of formation, two other geese always go back to follow him and be there with him and protect him. And they stay with him until they either pass or they're healed up enough to travel on. Amen? When you become a part of a community and have that community, you've got people around you that are going to be there for you. When you get sick, they're going to be checking on you. They're going to be praying for you. They're going to be encouraging you. When you get depressed, they're there to cheer you up. Amen? When your faith is wavering, they're there to speak to you. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Praise the Lord. The next thing, reason you need to be in church, why you need to come to church. Somebody says, what do I need church for? Number one is community. You need people around you that are going to build you up and lift you up and encourage you. The second thing is about discovering who God is. Amen? Back in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, they worshiped together at the temple and met each day, met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God. One of the first things you also need to discover about church is it's not about you. Amen? It's about Jesus. Church gives us an opportunity to worship God, the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you attend church regularly and you worship God regularly, it becomes a way of life. There are people who say, well, I worship God at my house. I worship Him on my own. I hate to tell you, you're just fooling yourself. Because there is no way that you're worshiping God in the way that you worship Him when you come to church and worship with other people. Amen? It's very few people who worship God on their own in their private lives. Hopefully we have many here today. I'm not preaching to you guys. I'm preaching to the people that are listening on here. Amen? Life is busy and it's hectic and we get distracted. Amen? I mean, just think about it in your daily activities. You pick up your phone to do something and you see all these notifications. Or you see this, and you got an email, and you start looking at it, and a half hour later, you haven't done what you got your phone to do with the first time. That's how easily distracted we are. All of our life should be a lifestyle of worship. But usually it's not. Church gives us that special time each week where we come together and we specifically focus our attention on God. You cut out all the other distractions. Amen. And you make a choice. You know what? Today, I'm going to church. I'm going to concentrate on God. I'm going to focus on God. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to get distracted during worship? Glory to God, it's warm in here. I thought Pastor Will said we were going to get some quotes on air conditioning. Haven't seen it yet. Can't get anybody to show up. We need to pray about that, right? We prayed about getting somebody to come and do those things, and it happened. Let's pray about getting somebody to come and give us a quote for air conditioning. Because we'll be hanging meat in here if we had air conditioning. I'll tell you, it'd be chilly. I like it cold. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we get distracted. We get off track. But church gives us that special time when we all stand together corporately. We're worshiping, and Pastor Karen and the worship team leads us into worship, leads us into the presence of God. And you can get to the point where you can train yourself to just shut down, just close your eyes, and just worship God. Amen? Look at Psalm 34:3. Everybody doing okay this morning? Psalm 34:3. Psalm 34:3 says, O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Earlier in that chapter, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then he says, you know, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Amen? When we're worshiping God, that's what we're doing. We're exalting His name together. What comes to word, to mind when you hear the word magnify? What's that?
Make it bigger.
Make it bigger. Amen? Magnifying glass. You pull that magnifying glass out and everything there is much bigger and it's easier to see. You can maybe see something you've never seen before. It makes things bigger. They seem much closer and easier to see and to understand. If you look at the moon, if through a telescope, the moon gets bigger and you can see the craters and the mountains much easier. The same things happen when we magnify and worship God. He suddenly becomes much larger and much clearer to us. Amen? We sing about it. What a mighty God we serve. You're magnifying that. In your eyes, you're hearing that. Amen? You may come into a worship service and you're struggling in an area. And the song ministers right to you. Amen? The message ministers right to you. The song and the messages go right together. We never planned any of that. Amen? That's just the Holy Spirit working and putting things together. What a mighty God we serve. Praise the Lord. If you truly let yourself be immersed in worship, no matter what style of worship service you prefer, you will feel God's presence in that place and it will stay with you. It also works the other way. The fewer times that you magnify God, the smaller He becomes. Your problems, the world, whatever it is that you are magnifying, becomes much larger in your eyes. Amen? Whatever you're focusing on, whatever you're magnifying in your life, will become greater to you. That's why you need to come to church, to constantly keep God at the forefront. Amen? The third thing, it says there in verse 42, back in Acts chapter 2, is all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. The third thing is going to help you to grow up, to mature in Christ. These believers were committed to learning more about Jesus. He was the focus of the apostles' teaching and growing to become more like Him. You know, when I started out on my Christian journey, I never studied the Bible so that I could prepare a sermon. I studied the Bible because I wanted to become more like Jesus. I knew something had happened to me. I knew that I had been saved. I knew that night that I came forward and made Jesus the Lord of my life. And He delivered me from different things and set me free. I knew something was changed. And I wanted to grow and become more like Him. I wanted to find out more about this God. And I didn't grow up in church. Amen. I didn't have all the Sunday school lessons and all that in my life. So I started reading the Word. Read the Word through, and then I read it through again. Read it through several times before I ever preached my first sermon. And I was scared to death to preach my first sermon right here. Crazy, right? Don't even remember when it was. I still have the notes from it, though. It was bad. It was bad. And people were gracious and were like, man, that was really good. And I go back and I read it and I'm like, no, it wasn't. But you got to start somewhere, amen? You just need to go forward. Just do that. But it'll help you to grow. I learned more about Jesus through the study of it. The Holy Spirit can change us and make us more like Jesus. God wants you to come to church so you can learn more about Him and His character and His goodness. His plan for your life is for you to develop the kind of character described by Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount. And He wants you to begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit and learn how to walk in love even when it's not easy. As a pastor and a teacher of the Word, I study now in preparation to share the Word, but I'm always growing myself. Many times my sermons, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. I just preached it to myself earlier in the week. The Holy Spirit preached it to me. Amen? The Holy Spirit will use different methods to lead us into Christ-likeness. He can use circumstances in your life to shape your character. He uses worship. Emerson once noted, "It behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we are worshiping, we are becoming." Amen. God uses other people. Fellowshipping with other people who are more spiritually mature than we are helps us to grow. Amen. I thank God for men who were in my life that were much more spiritually mature than I was when I first got started. Amen. You need people in your life that can speak into your life. Praise the Lord. The Lord will use prayer. The more time you spend talking with God, the more you start to sound like Him instead of like yourself. But I still believe the tool He uses more than any other is His Word. To help you to grow, to help you to mature. When you come to church and to the fellowship of others, spiritually growing people, and hear the Word of God being preached, it teaches you what it really means to be like Jesus. It should challenge you to follow in His steps. Hopefully, in everyone who ministers here, we inspire you and equip you to be able to do that. Amen? Brother Jim, downstairs every Sunday morning, he's teaching basic principles to help you to grow spiritually. Amen? He spends a lot of time preparing. He spends a lot of time. His heart is to see you grow and to see you develop and to see you become the person that God's called you to be. Amen? When we minister, you're going to get the Word of God here. This sermon today is a little different. I've only shared like three scriptures. Usually that's in my opening. Amen? Paul can say, yeah, praise the Lord. Fingers aren't going to get sore today. Turning the pages. We want to grow. When you come to church, you're going to hear the Word. You're going to hear the Word. You're going to hear the Word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it should, sometimes it may not register up here. But you come back and you hear it again. And then you hear it again. And you hear it again. Amen. The Word of God in Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. Amen. You have to listen to the Word being taught. You ever had one of them aha moments when you sit in church and the preacher's preaching something and all of a sudden it's like, oh wow. Never seen that before. Oh wow. Amen? That's why you need to be in church. The last thing we're going to look at is ministry. By becoming a part of community, it's going to help you to be a blessing to other people, and it's going to prepare you for the ministry that God has called you into. Now, when people hear the word ministry, they only think of pulpit ministry. But there's all kinds of ministries in the Word. Administration's one of them. Anybody ever think of being an administrator as part of ministry? Yes, it is. Service. All those things are part of ministry. Amen? Just because you're not called to a pulpit ministry or a youth ministry doesn't mean that you're not called to ministry in some aspect. Amen? It says in verse 43 and 45, a deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. While the apostles were healing the sick, the blind, and the crippled, other Christians were helping the poor and looking out for one another. Remember, they were taking care of the widows. They were serving them food. They were doing all that ministry. The point is this. Another great reason the church exists and why you should be a part of it is to fulfill your divine destiny. To fulfill your divine ministry. You were put on earth to make a contribution. You weren't created just to consume resources. To eat, to drink, to take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. Amen? Many best-selling books offer advice how to get the most out of your life. That's not why God made you. You were created to add to life here on the earth. To add to other people's lives. God wants you to give something back, and the church is the avenue that you can do that in. Amen? Whether it's being a greeter, whether it's being an usher, whether it's cleaning, whatever it may be, God has given you a gift to do some things. Amen? To be a blessing to other people, to give back. Look at Ephesians 2:10, and we'll close with this. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. The New American Standard says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The New Century Version says, "God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing." These good works are your ministry. God has a ministry for you, and the best place to discover and start fulfilling your ministry is in the church. Amen? Going to church will help you discover and utilize those special gifts. Amen? Brother Jim and Brother Clint never would have dreamed they would be up here preaching someday. Except Pastor Will went, "You're going to do it. Praise the Lord." I might ask you to do something someday and you look at me like a deer in the headlights, terrified. You can do it. Yeah, you can do it. Amen? Yeah. I need you to do the offering messages next month. No. Yeah, you can. Come on. You can do it. Amen? Yeah. God has called you to do some things. So, if somebody asks you, "Why should I go to church? What's in it for me?" I just gave you four things. Become a part of something bigger than you are. Become a part of the community. Amen. You can discover more of what God's like. Have a true picture of who God is from being together with other people. Amen. That you can mature. You can grow up spiritually. And become those men and women of God that God's called you to be. And finally, you can fulfill your divine destiny. You look at somebody and say, "God has a divine destiny for you." and it's not doing what you're doing now. And the only way you're ever going to discover that is to get into the church and find out what God has for you. It'll shake them up. They might, right, God ain't got no purpose for me, but they're going to think about what you told them when they walk away from you. And the next day, and the next day. Amen? People ask us, why should I go to church? What's in it for me? We got some answers for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we're so thankful for the example that you've given to us in your word of what the early church looked like. And Father, that we can model that, and we can take that model and use it as our example. And try to duplicate that in our own lives and in our own church, Lord. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for everyone that's here today. Lord, I pray that this message just ministered to them, and that they, each, all of us, can take something from this message today and apply it in our lives. And Lord, I pray for your blessing upon every household represented here today, that every need that they have is met. Just pray for protection upon those households. Loose your angels round about us as we travel from this place today and throughout our week, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.